You're listening to the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast, a series of conversations with Chinese and international experts on China's foreign policy, international role, and China's relations with the world, brought to you from the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, located in Beijing. I'm Paul Hanley, the director of the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, and I'll be your host. Today we're at Peking University, visiting Professor Wu Bingbing. Professor Wu is a research fellow at Peking University's Institute for International and Strategic Studies. He's the deputy director of Peking University's Department of Arabic Language and Culture and director of the university's Institute of Arab Islamic Studies. Dr. Wu participated in a panel at the second annual Carnegie Global Dialogue here in Beijing in October on China-Middle East relations. Today I'd like to give our listeners a sense of the discussion that took place at the Global Dialogue and continue that conversation here further. Dr. Wu, thank you very much for participating in our Carnegie Tsinghua podcast today.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's some media coverage recently of a growing military-to-military relationship with Iran. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever last month, Chinese frigates visited Bandar Abbas, the port, the Iranian port at Bandar Abbas. And recently, Iran's Navy, the head of Iran's Navy, visited China, and the two sides expressed a desire to enhance military ties. This, of course, takes place against the backdrop of the Iranian nuclear negotiations and the deadline that's fast approaching. What should the United States and the international community understand about this growing military-to-military ties? How does this fit into the overall international approach on Iran?
I think we should understand this, you know, on a broader background. China is trying to develop a closer relationship with the Middle East. Yeah, I think 2 decades ago, our relationship with Middle East, you know, was limited. But because we have more and more interest, our relationship is, you know, strengthened more and more. So for military, I mean, this kind of cooperation, certainly our fleet has also visited some GCC countries before. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we had some kind of a joint military maneuver with Turkey, right? We sent some airplanes to Turkey through Iran before. And so you see our military cooperation with Iran is normal based on this background. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot ignore some countries. We should develop a balanced relationship with different countries. So if we can have this cooperation with GCC countries and Turkey, even Turkey as a NATO member, so why we cannot have the same thing with Iran? Mm. So we want to, you know, make a balanced military cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Is these efforts, these recent efforts on the military-to-military side, does it have any, from a Chinese perspective, does it have any impact on the Iranian nuclear negotiations? Does it put Iran in a strengthened position, or does it not have an impact?
I don't think so. Because, you know, the negotiation now focused more on details, right? How many centrifuge, I mean, how to deal with this, you know, the stockpile of this nuclear material, something like that. And for U.S., you know, what's your consideration of waiving or lifting some sanctions? So Chinese position, you know, any movement, any activity cannot influence.
They're not connected.
Yeah, no, because of this consideration, you know, is long-run consideration. It's not short-run. Mm-hmm. How many centrifuges, you know, cannot, you know, the numbers cannot be changed easily. Otherwise, the negotiation should be much easier. I think for Chinese, you know, we really want to see a final deal could be reached. It will reduce the tension in the whole region. Yeah, and also it's helpful for different parties, including regional countries and also China and U.S. Because, you know, I think these sanctions imposed on Iran always, you know, hurt China because we buy energy from Iran. We have economic cooperation with Iran. Yeah.
Let's move to one other Middle East issue, and that is the Middle East peace process. Mm-hmm. In May of 2013, Chinese President Xi Jinping, during the visit of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, mm-hmm. the Chinese leadership offered to broker a meeting between the two in an apparent gesture for China to play an enhanced role as a mediator. At the same time, President Xi Jinping announced a four-point proposal for solving the Palestinian issue. and it attracted a lot of international attention. This past summer, during the conflict in Gaza, China put forth a five-point peace proposal in Egypt. Do these efforts indicate a fundamental shift in China's diplomatic role in the Middle East peace process?
There is a shift, but I don't think it's a fundamental. It's mm-hmm. a gradual process. Yeah, I think with China, because China has more and more interest, so China must be more and more involved in the regional issues. Mm-hmm. So Palestinian issue is always a very important issue and core issue, maybe. For the understanding of Chinese in this region. So China must, offer some kind of contribution to find solution or to try to find solution. So I think, China's position is always, the same, I think, to have an independent, sovereign Palestinian state, right, with East Jerusalem as the capital, and the border should be on the 1967 border, all the same. But I think the change is, China now is trying to have a more vocal voice on a higher level. Because, our president, talked on this. It has different, influence than the foreign minister talk on this or the state counselor talk on this. And also, I think this kind of change is a signal of our shift to a more proactive position in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. But it's a long process. Mm-hmm. China should and is very cautious in this regard.
So from that standpoint of being cautious, do I understand you to say you don't expect, for example, Chinese leaders to begin playing a much more engaged and an intense role in the diplomatic efforts? As you know, these diplomatic efforts can often be very politically risky for leaders around the world to involve themselves in them. How far is China willing to go in this process? Do you expect to see this kind of intense engagement by the Chinese, or do you think that Chinese leaders will be putting forward proposals for consideration?
I think first, we have some kind of advantage because mm-hmm. we are considered by the region as more neutral, different from some other countries. Yeah, we don't have alliance with any country in this region. So we can talk with any party in this region, right? So our special envoy to the Middle East has visited the Middle East several times, and he can talk with both Palestinians and Israelis. But sometimes he can even talk with Hamas. So China can do something maybe the other parties cannot do in the region. It's true. But still, I think, based on the experience of the other countries, especially U.S., your Secretary of State has made visit to the Middle East to find solution for this Palestinian issue, I mean, more than 10 times. Mm. So how could China expect, to have some effort, some vocal voices, and some diplomatic activity to have a solution for this long-term conflict? No, it's a little bit naive. So I think, China would be cautious to see what we can do. And we will, but the direction is very clear. We want to reduce the tension, and we want to find a solution. We want to help a peaceful solution.
Well, thank you very much, Professor Wu Bingbing. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah.
And we hope you will come back to the Carnegie Tsinghua Center and participate in our activities in the future.
It's my great honor and pleasure. Thank you very much.